Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for guiding our founding fathers and the many explorers before them, all the way to America. Lord, thank you for the blessings of America. In Jesus' name, amen. We all can point out how the early Americans either honored God or they were apparently worldly men. And so we know that there were different people in that day, just like there are today. It's always been that way throughout time. Were the men of God or were the men of the world? Now, America has had some very big changes over time, and we still are entertaining very big changes, but we want to maintain the freedoms that we have through the Bill of Rights, our Constitution. We want to be able to worship God in the manner which we understand. We want to have the freedom, whatever those freedoms are, freedom of press, freedom to own guns. There are core principles that we value and want to uphold. There has always been a struggle that has gone on between rights and responsibilities. And from the beginnings of America, we have had a Christian foundation with rights and responsibilities that were well understood. Now today, we have people in the Americas that have new ideas, and it might not be the same as in our founding, the founding days of America. We have people who have different beliefs about what will happen in the future. It's as diverse as America will be wonderful and free, or that America will be the fall of Babylon of chapter 18, Revelation. So we have different ideas, and somehow we want to maintain the freedoms and the principles of freedom in America that we have had from the very beginning. But we do have conflicts in the world. There have always been conflicts, but today they seem to be more serious when they involve nuclear weapons. And we see the threats going around the world. We see Russia and Chinese warships that have just had maneuvers off the Sea of Japan. And we see Iran is continuing to enrich uranium so that it can have several nuclear bombs. We have things going on, which of course we have to be aware of, so that if we need to have protection in our country or in our life, we can take those steps to prepare for a difficulty. Lately, Iran has said that they were going to mine the sea shipping lanes in the Strait of Hormuz. And then there seems to have been a deal made between China and Russia and Iran. We don't know what it is, but we do know that Iran stopped its project to mine that part of the Strait of Hormuz. So here we are in America. We have things going on. We have programs that are helping with destruction, or should I say corruption, in America. We have corruption that has been found out in many parts of the federal government, from the Department of Justice, where they just arrested 324 people who stole $14.6 billion from Medicare and Medicaid, and they stole millions of opioid pills. See, we have things going on in this country that are really both good and not good. And we need to pray for holiness and to live a holy life so that we can have righteousness in this country. On July 3rd, it was Mario Morello. He reported about the 30,000 pages that were just released about the Kennedy assassination, and it showed that there was a great big conspiracy that has gone on. It even showed that there were two shooters. Not one, but two. So we have things going on which are, well, they're not right. And they're showing a corruption within the government. How bad will it get, we wonder? Will it really get to be as bad as Revelation chapter 18 with the fall of Babylon? Is that going to be a natural consequence of the corruption that is going on? All we know is it might be. And therefore, if we know that things might be happening, even if it's the wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes and pandemics, even if that's what is going to go on, we ought still have a little bit of preparation because the Bible gives us an understanding of what's coming so that we can prepare for it, not so that we can sit down and let us be killed by whatever those things are, hunger, starvation, war, earthquakes. No. The idea is we are told so that we can prepare. And we do seek that wonderful relation with God, and we have to figure out how are we going to be obedient to God and have that relation. Now, I think it is interesting how there's different people who are just so sure that they know one way or the other and how to be close to God. And I think of the obedient part of this, and when I think of obedience, it makes me think of how a person would choose a dog. People like obedience, and they would choose a dog that would be obedient. If you just think about a relationship with a person and a dog, there is a closeness that develops, and it especially develops when the dog does what the person wants. And so, yeah, I think there's a kind of a parallel there with people and with God. We get a closer relationship when we do what God wants. And if we just do what we want to do, we are not going to have that same close relation with God, Jesus. And so similarly, if we have a dog that just goes off and chases squirrels whenever it wants and sits if it wants and doesn't have any inclination to obey its the person taking care of it, then the relation between the dog and the human deteriorates. It just is not a good relation. But if the dog is obedient, that develops a closer bond between the dog and the human. And I think that's true with God, too. When the human wants to be obedient to God, it develops a relationship. And it has to do with a loving relationship also. If you look at the disobedient dog who does what it wants to do, or maybe it bites people, if it's biting people, you know you can't have that dog around. It's not going to be good for your family and your friends. And I just wonder if we can understand that with our relationship with God. We want to have a relationship which is close and good and loving with God. And we do make choices, and those choices are described of what happens in the Bible, if it's a close relationship or if it's not a close relationship. Consequences, either way. So I know that people either will or will not agree with that illustration, and that's okay. It's for everyone to do, but at least we can think about it and see what works. And we do want to have a good and godly life. I think of how we do things that are relatively small, and they make a big impact on a relationship. If you could just think of, if you were talking with somebody and they rolled their eyes or they fiddled with their face or something like that, and there were a conversation going on, it would not be respectful and it would take away from the relationship. Small things make a difference. If you're going to roll your eyes, it might make a difference. If you're going to have an attitude when you obey, it might make a difference. So it's something for all of us to consider about how we can have the best and closest relationship with God. I think of Matthew 5:18, where it talks about every jot and tittle, and God is aware of everything, even the small things. So I can imagine that when we are dealing with other people, or when God deals with us, every little thing makes a difference. And it makes a difference for the quality of our relationship. And that's the part of an example that I think of that we have with God. The little things make a difference. Even the smallest things or a small offense, they make a difference. Now, it might not make the difference, but it does make a little difference. I think God does care about the details, and that's why he talks about every jot and tittle of a sentence, of a word of discussion. Things do make a difference, and even our state of mind makes a difference. Now, I don't know that we get excuses for what we do. Would you say, oh, I just said that because I was drunk? God, I didn't mean it. It was an accident. Well, do you think that he would hold a person accountable if they were drunk? Well, there will be people who have their own ideas about that, but I think we ought to want to be as perfect as we can be in our obedience. And a part of that is the life that we live before a righteous judge and before our fellow human beings. When we want to be aware of the whole word of truth, the Bible. John 8:32 talks about knowing the whole word of truth, which is the Bible. So let us seek the understanding that God wants us to have, which is Bible understanding, and it is understanding of life with other people as we live in a group of people with love. Yeah, love God and love your neighbor. That's what we're told to do, is the great commandment. We do want to take responsibility for the way we live with our freedoms and our responsibilities. And a part of that includes loving our neighbor. And so sometimes we have to be very thoughtful about what we're doing and how we're living. And that's a part of being a Christian, being a Bible reader. You have to think to understand how you can really follow God's laws, which are written in the Bible. We know what he wants. How do you show love to people? How do you show love to God? Well, you honor him in what you do. It's something which will make a difference at some point in time. Let us seek to know how we can please God and be judged in a good and righteous way, as we live faithful to God. And we want to preserve and protect the people around us, including the innocent people. Oh, including the children. And we have Matthew 18:6 that says it's better for a millstone to be tied around someone's neck than they thrown into the sea, than to cause a little child to fall into sin. So, there again, little things make a difference. Now, what if it's a big thing? That makes a big difference, too. So let's seek to live a holy life according to what God says is holy. Now, we do have to remember what God says. They're laws. They are really what God means. I think of Achan in the book of Luke, 22:38. Achan, it's a time when Israel was taking over the land. The Hebrew people were sometimes told to conquer a land or conquer a people, and Achan was a part of that group of Hebrews. And a part of the instructions were not to take anything from the people they were conquering, or the leftovers of the people they were conquering. But Achan did. He put aside a wedge of gold, silver, and a beautiful coat. And so the Hebrew people had trouble winning wars after that, and they found out that Achan had disobeyed God. And Achan ended up being put to death because of his disobedience. So that's another part that we have to be aware of, what happens when we obey and what happens when we disobey the word of God. We have things that we want to understand as we love God and love our neighbor. How are we going to love our neighbor, or who is our neighbor? And this is a universal law, and God wants to protect the innocent and his own people. And when I think of the Christians that are attacked and murdered all over the world, I know there's going to be a price that they're going to pay. Somehow, with all the Christians that have been murdered in Central Africa, there's going to be consequences for that. Just a few days ago, there was another thing that got my attention. Hamas killed, about a dozen aid workers in Gaza. In fact, some of them they tortured. Hamas said that those aid workers were really trained by and worked for Israel. And of course, now that they're dead, I guess people can say anything they want. There is nobody to contradict what Hamas said about those 12 aid workers in Gaza. So now the company that the aid workers worked for, the aid organization, they said, oh no, the workers were not trained by Israel. But different people say different things. Sometimes it takes a while to prove one position or the other. But it's pretty hard to have a dead man testify, sort of. So that is one of the things that are going on around the world. Around the world, we are having a lot of violence happen, and this is just another example of it. I don't think there's going to be much that comes out of that that killing of the 12 people in Gaza, because there are big forces that are trying to make the Abrahamic peace accord become a real thing in Israel and Gaza. They want to have the peace accords between the countries, where countries recognize, well, Israel and the other countries around also. So there's a great big movement to have those Abrahamic peace accords go forward. And if you have 12 people that were just killed by Hamas, it doesn't speak very well for what could happen in the future. Well, there's a lot of violence in the world, and we ought to not excuse it, but we ought to remember that we can have violence anywhere in the world and anywhere in our America also. There's a lot of things that get reported, and there's a lot of things that do not get reported. So somehow we have to be wise about what we understand is going on in the world. A part of that is protecting ourselves and protecting the innocent. And Well, this just came out, too, with the Attorney General Pam Bondi saying that there were terror cells, sleeper cells in the USA from illegal... Oh, let me think. There were 1,500 illegal Iranians in the USA, and they were working on deporting the 1,500 illegal Iranians. Now, we know that some of them are radical also. They might be a part of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard, or they might be fundamentalists of one thing or another. But we do know there is a danger in America from people who have a much different worldview than is traditional in America. It's often not tolerant at all. It's all often that they will overcome through violence. And it's something that is so foreign to Americans that we just don't seem to understand that it could happen here. But it can happen here in America. Even right now, there are many threats of violence. There are threats of protest. There are threats to politicians and to the police. There are many targets of violence besides random acts of violence that are going on. Oh, even against, there were the innocent firefighters, and they were just shot down by, well, I guess we're going to find out more about that one, police and firefighters. There are things that are really going on all across America, and it is not good for the stability in America, whether it's organized or, even the witches of America are casting spells, both publicly and privately, on the people they disagree with. So we have things going on in America that are talking about special groups of people with special signs and special meanings, and it doesn't mean they're godly. It just means that it is showing the great uncertainty and difference or divide in America. It's happening right now in America. Our country is falling apart, which is a part of why I think of Revelation chapter 18, the fall of Babylon, when there is violence and confusion in a land. It's not a good thing for having things work out well. And for all that is going on, it still does not mean that we ought to live in fear. No, by no means should we live in fear, but we also ought to have a realistic view of what is going on around us, what goes on in our neighborhood, or what goes on in the world. There are threats of violence that happen, and people have very different ideas from our own ideas. And we know that there can be conflict. And that's something that we ought to be aware of. We ought to walk with our eyes open and study the situations around us, that situational awareness. That is what we want to do. And how many times have you seen the pictures of somebody looking at their cell phone and walking into trouble? That reminds me of Lawrence of Arabia. He was a dashing English soldier, which is almost 100 years ago. But he did some amazing military things in the Middle East. And then he took a break. He went to his home in England. Well, actually, it was London right there. And so he was just having a nice, gentle, relaxing time. It was peaceable in London. And so he lost his awareness and stepped out onto the street to cross. And a motorbike hit him And he died right there and right then as he stepped off the curb to cross the street. So that's a part of what it is like when we do not have situational awareness. And that is why we always want to be watchful and have situational awareness. That is not fear. We are not to be fearful, but we are to be aware. So when we have things going on in our country, like I just said, the Attorney General, Pam Bondi, said that there are Iranian sleeper cells in the USA. There could be 1,500. 1,500 sleeper cells. Now, they are ones, and we have seen the reports on it, and they are people who want to do violence and cause either harm or death to America. That is well established. But if you don't have any personal experience with it, it's hard to believe that there could be really people like that who could hate America and Americans. Well, that makes me think back to about 1997 or 8. I had a good friend who told me about an Iranian man that, they were friends of the family. They both had teenage children, and he was he professed that there should be violence against America and Americans. It's funny, they both had teenage children and got along, but they were very well aware that he was a violent jihadist. Well, I just mean that this has been a problem that has been in America for a long time. That was there was a program under Bush after the Gulf War that brought, as I recall, it was 1,500 people. Now, I'm not getting the numbers mixed up. I really remember these as being distinct. I just said 1,500 sleeper cells, and I think that there were 1,500 Iraqi, I would call them jihadists, and brought into the country. So there are people. I think this is what we have to know, that there are really people who hate Americans, and they hate America, and they want to do violence any way that they can. So there really are people like that. They're reported about, reported on in the official information. So we should be aware that there might be violence, and certainly there might be our system of living disrupted, whether it's the electrical system, the road system, the ability to buy gas or have water brought to our house. Oh, that's right. And the reservoirs that were, well, I don't know of any ones that actually were made it poisoned in a big way, but I understand that they did find poison in several of the reservoirs across America, water reservoirs. So we do know that there are things going on by people who hate America and hate Americans. And somehow we have to figure out how we're going to deal with it when we have brought so many people who really do hate. Well, they can hate Americans, or they might hate other people from their previous country with the quarrels and tribal divisions. This is very real, and somehow they're not having a chance to learn the American traditions of freedom and responsibility. So it might take a little time. I don't know how we're going to accommodate so many people who are in this country, and that's why so many of them are getting sent back to their own country of origin. It's something which, when you're born in a country, you learn the ways of that country. And we are in a very difficult position with so many people now being born in foreign countries but living in America. There's also a great big pattern that we can be aware of with the movement of communists. The communist revolution has been planned and put into effect in many countries, from India to America. There are many ways that it has been implemented, and very often the people are unaware. But the project has been to convince the native-born people that there is a better way, that they can become more prosperous and more free if they only follow communism, because communism cares for people. That's what they say. But if you've ever been to a communist country, and I've been to a few of them, no, it doesn't turn out that way. Not at all. Communist countries are, well, if you're in a communist country, it's almost sure that everyone wants to leave for a more free country. And that includes China. Right now, we have so many people that have come into America from China, and you know, they didn't do it on their own. I mean, who can pay for an airplane ticket or a boat trip from China to the Americas, whether it's Central, South, or North America? It's obviously something that has been planned by the people who had the money to make it happen. So that's another thing that we really ought to be aware of, that there are people who want to disrupt America. Well, let me put it another way. They want to destroy America. And as things are destroyed, they will have a chance to acquire the richest in America. That has been an old pattern ever since ancient times. It has always been a pattern, and so we ought to be aware that it's been happening everywhere in the world, and it can happen here in America, either in a big way or a little way. Things can happen, and America can be destroyed. Now, there has been a great big movement of people that are opposed to God. They want the evilness in their life so that they can take advantage of other people or the riches of other people. And that's something that we have to be aware of, because it's real. It's real to know that there are forces that oppose freedom and Christianity. They oppose God. They oppose decent people. And we ought to be aware of that. There are many indicators of the troubles that are coming, and not just the Bible ones. I mean, the Bible talks about war, famine, pestilence, and earthquakes. Okay, we can be real sure that those are coming even more than they have been in the past. So let's get prepared for what we understand is right around the corner. Do we know for sure? I think we do, because the Bible has a history of being true, whether it's prophetic or about things that have happened in the past. Things really do happen the way the Bible tells. So, wars, famine, pestilence, and earthquakes. What are you going to do to get ready? And remember, we want to survive these hard times with war, famine, pestilence, and earthquakes. Why? So that we can carry on God's purpose for our life, which is to preach the good news of the gospel. That is what we do. That's what we're here for. So let's survive. Let's get through this time and then preach the gospel. God bless you for doing that. Well, we have people who have wanted to settle down in America, and they might not hold American beliefs. They might have their beliefs that they have held from their country of origin, wherever they were born. And somehow, if we're going to have people in this country, we want to have them have similar beliefs, similar values. And that can take a little bit of time to discuss, or you could even say to train people about the truth of history and why we love America for freedom. Yes, freedom to worship God, freedom to buy what we want to buy, freedom, I guess you could say to own guns too. There are many freedoms, and we are grateful for them. In the midst of a world that is in conflict, whether that conflict is in Israel or Iran or on the seas of the Strait of Hormuz with putting mines out into the field to stop the oil transportation. Apparently, like I said, the oil tankers are looking like they're going to continue going to China, because China, Russia, and Iran have made a deal. We don't know what the deal is, but it's been kind of hinted at, kind of talked about. We need to see what it turns into. Well, whatever it is, there are things going on in the world, and there are forces that are against America and Americans. We ought to be aware that the world is not always a wonderful and friendly place. We can have some very great big opposition. I've learned a lot of that watching history. I remember, I know it's funny, I guess I was a really strange college student, because I would spend days, literally, in the library, the university library, reading history books. And it was fun for me to learn history. And so I did. I've learned a lot of history. And I know that things happen in the world that are kind of surprising until you know the details. And then you know why things happen. It's because they make a great big benefit that other people don't. Because somebody is doing what somebody else wants them to do. That's a part of the manipulation that goes on in history. Whether it's for the purpose of promoting goodness or evil, or promoting personal wealth or personal ambition, whatever that is, could be anything. So we have things that are going on in the world, and we want to be careful with what's going on and stay close to God and have Jesus as the Lord of our life. I didn't used to be a Christ follower for half my life, and I was not. And I still had a wide experience in life. I got to see a bunch of the world. I know there have been people who've been terrorists who I've ran into. There have been people who have been merchants. There have been people who've been travelers and missionaries, just a bunch of different people. And that's what we have in life. We have a big assortment of life with people and what their ambitions are. So we get to see it and realize that there really are people who would be happy to oppose us. Some of them would be happy to kill us. it's a big thing in the world. The world has a great variation in people. And eventually I got to reading the history books about the Hebrews, and I got to realize, with all the history I've read, wow, I didn't read the Bible. I wonder what that's about. So I read it, and I read it again. Each time it took about a year. And then I became a follower of Jesus Christ, because it was truth. It was the truest book I ever read, the Bible. And so when we look at the Bible and what it says, we have a lot that we can learn about people and about the world. And a part of Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 3 and chapter 33, talk about it. They talk about the watchman and how if the watchman does not warn the people, their blood will be on the hands of the watchman. That made a big impact on me. I didn't realize how much that would impact me in my life, but here I am caring about the Word of God and warning people, and I see so many reasons to prepare because I've seen so much trouble, so much hardship in the world, and I don't want other people to have pain, hardship, or hunger, or just plain difficulties to overcome. I want people to have a good and wonderful life. And there are people who want to actually hurt other people in the world. And I don't want that to happen. So that is a part of what I think we can do is to get prepared for the conditions that are coming. And while I can't tell you just what those conditions will be, we do read Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Wars, rumors of war, pestilence, famine, and earthquakes. That we can be sure of is coming to the earth. And as you look at the news, we know these things are happening. And therefore, I want to warn everybody to be careful about what is around you. There will be violence. There will be great big difficulties. And some things we can do more about than others. I mean, if you're hungry, if you're worried about famine, you have some food stored away. Now, probably it's going to be grains and sugar and other stable foods. And you're probably not going to have very much lettuce on hand. Oh, but you could have wheat sprouts, and that works really good for your greens. There's lots of things you can do. It's just that you have to look into the matter and seek what it is that you can do to prepare for a time of difficulty. Now, there's even Luke. Oh, what is this? It's 22:45, where the apostles are going to go out into the world, the followers of Christ, and they're told to have a sword, and they have two swords, and that's enough, Jesus says. So maybe there is a time for us to have a sword also, as we deal with violence and difficulties in the world. Now, it's a matter of everyone gets to choose and understand this, but it's also a matter of reality that if there's going to be a dangerous time and violence in the world, it might be the very thing that we need to do to have a sword or two swords. As Jesus said, two swords is enough. But that is something that we're all going to be able to look into, figure out, and then do something about whatever concerns we see. I mean, your concerns might just be that your car works. So do you have a spare tire in your car? Do you have an extra fan belt? Do you have a few things that'll keep the motor going if there is a problem? There's always things we can do. And that reminds me, if you want my free preparedness paper, write me, and I'll send one back to you. So, what do we do about the troubles that are coming? Well, there's always something we can do, and I think that's why we have prophecy. Prophecy warns us about what is coming, not so that we can be victims, but so that we can do something about it, so that we can show love and compassion to other people, which is certainly includes telling them the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that there is eternal life. So we get to have a little bit of examination about how we're going to live life and what we're going to do because we want to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. and preach the good word of the gospel to the world. It's a matter of what principles do you follow. When you hear about things going on in the world, are you going to shout out a warning to what just could be happening? And of course, there are different warnings, and we don't exactly know what or when things are going to happen. Are you one who believes that the fall of Babylon will happen, as in Revelation chapter 18? There's many things that we can prepare for. The question is, what are you going to actually do to prepare for something that is in God's will? Now, we have a dangerous times coming, and I think of Matthew 7:14 that talks about the narrow path that leads to heaven and the wide path, which is a highway to hell. So it takes a little discernment and effort to be able to walk on that narrow path to heaven. And so many people will be on that wide highway to hell. And it means that you are to look about your life and examine it to see that you are actually obeying God and following His plan, which is to preach the gospel to the world. It's also to love your fellow man. It's to love God. These are the values that we want to have and show other people. To hold these things in your heart and your head, and to be able to show these characteristics to others, whether it's by your words or your actions. You want to align with God's love and an understanding of God's will. And when you have God's love and God's will in your heart and your mind, then let your life prove it. Let your dollars prove that you are faithful to God's will. Support what God would be doing in the world. Show your, I could call it obedience, I will. Show your obedience to God and have that relationship with God. Even in the midst of what is going on, we know there are troubles going on, and we know that, well, the Bible describes them as birth pangs. Pangs which get more and more intense, and we can see things getting more intense as things go on. So there's a few things we can do to prepare for what is going on and prepare for what we can understand is coming to the world, even coming to our neighborhood. Is there something that we can do to show love to other people? Show the love of God. He has a way. And then we want to live a holy life, just like Ephesians 5:27 says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And we want to be that clean and holy bride of Christ without spot or wrinkle. And so that is something that we continue to desire and to act upon so that we can be obedient to God Jesus Christ. And a part of what we do is we work at that effort to love people, love God, and so sometime we have to think about how to do it. Sometimes it's a quick feeling, and sometimes it's a plan. If you ever go on a mission trip, you know that it's a plan, because a mission trip takes planning. So as things go on in the world right now, we can see that there are indications that we are getting closer and closer to the end of time. It's time for you to choose Jesus and live faithfully to Jesus. And some of that is bringing peace, and some of it is bringing the word of Christ to other people so they can choose God. We are getting close to the final years of history. Now, I don't know how many are left, All I know is that there are fewer years left than there were a few years ago. So time is getting shortened to the end of time. And we have to know what is important to how we live to show Jesus Christ to other people and give them the opportunity to believe in Jesus Christ. And sometime we do that by reading history books, including the Bible. And sometimes it is by demonstrating or telling about our experience and how awesome God has been in our life and how often enough we've had miracles in our life. So we want to talk about that. After all, there is a progression of history. We can see it. We know it happens. And just like there is a progression of money, we know that money inflates. And right now we are having an inflationary time. And it'll get worse, for sure. They're even talking about doing away with pennies and maybe even coins. So if you don't have a penny, a 1 cent that will buy anything, sure, why not eliminate it? Oh, you know that quarters used to be made out of silver. Our coinage used to be made out of semi-precious metals. And if you had a silver quarter today, it would be worth $5. But somehow, inflation has come along and taken the value of our money away. This has been a historical understanding. That has happened all along. In history, we've had inflation. Well, think about the people who have bought houses. No doubt you remember of people who have had bought a house, like your parents. What about one? Nowadays, I think the average house in America, it's like $400,000. And like 50 years ago, you could have bought a house for $40,000. And 100 years ago, that house would have been $4,000. It's a matter of we keep having significant inflation in our world. And pretty soon, there are efforts to have digital money, and inflation, well, simply, we won't feel it, because all we'll do is we'll put our card in the slot and we'll get charged for whatever it is. And this is a little problem when we're having digital currency. Yes, it's more effective. Yes, it's more easy. And just put your card in the slot and we'll take care of it. By the way, you get your government money with the robots doing work. And that's just, it's a part of the system that seems to be coming. However, you still have to know that there is a money system that is happening. And the pattern repeats. If you think back to Genesis 47:15, it talks about when money failed in Egypt. Money has always failed. That's just what money does. If you look at even the last 100 years, there have been many countries that have had their money devalued drastically. Russia has, China has, England has, Argentina was a big one, Brazil has. The point is, it's a known pattern, and it's expected to happen here. The money people expect it to happen. And how are we going to get through a time of great inflation? Well, we think about it. We think about what we can have that holds value. That's something that we all get to think about, because we overcome it with our mind and our thoughts. And that's something we do. And it's something which we all look for a relief from. We want things to change, to go back to the good times. But it seems like they will not. We are on a course of coming difficulty. And so what people want is, they say, oh, well, we're going to be raptured. Well, yes, it can happen at some point. We sure don't know when, but that is a whole nother question. And we will want to have the desperation in us to be saved from the inflation that is going around. And we will want to be saved from the beast system. and the blockchain technology that will track our every purchase. But it's probably that none of that salvation will come from the economic system that's planned. We're probably going to be hooked right into the beast system. So if you want to get through a time of difficulty, you're going to have to work on how to do that now. Think about it and make sure that you can come up with an idea to protect yourself or even the people you love. You have to think about it, or it will be, it'll come upon us right quick, and there will be nothing we can do. We just have to say, yes, I want my food. Yes, if I'm going to drive, I need insurance, and they need my numbers. And it's something which will affect all of us unless we can think about how we're going to get through a time of the beast system. So think about it and prepare, because otherwise we're just going to be in it. So prepare for what is coming, whether it's the famine or the beast system or the earthquakes, and show that you love your family and have a plan. And you can listen to any broadcast of Christ Today by going to www.christtoday.org. And I did invite you to get my free preparedness paper by writing with a self-addressed stamped envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. You can look at any past broadcast by going to www.christtoday.org. Well, we thank God for our blessings, and I thank you for today. God bless you.